Well, in just a very short time, we'll come to the close of this gospel meeting. And it would be ungrateful on my part if I did not say publicly, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you for the words of encouragement that you have given me throughout the week. It is my desire that things that might have been said and done could be an encouragement to you. I never, ever want to do anything to try to slow down good things that are already going on. And so I just appreciate getting to be with you. I hope our paths will cross again. If you're ever going south, if you're on I-65, stop off at Bowling Green. If you need a place to sleep, you can stay at my house. I'll even get up and cook breakfast for you. And it'd be great to get to see you. And now when we think about this lesson tonight, I want to try to cover every person in this building. So I don't want you to think, well, I'm picking on this one or I'm picking on this one. I'm going to pick on all of you. And then make sure that I get myself in there, because it's a lesson called increasing our faith. I want you to do a favor for me right now. Don't want you to spend too much time on this first thought, but I want you to think about somebody that claims to be a Christian, but you think they're probably the sorriest example you've ever seen to claim to be a Christian. I hope you don't have a whole bunch that fit that category, but have you ever had one or two that, you know, they say things, they do things, they act hypocritical, they cheat, they lie, occasionally they curse. Have you ever met somebody like that? Now let's get that out of our head, but then what I want you to do, I want you to think of the strongest person you've ever met that claims to be a Christian. It might be your mom or dad, might be grandma or grandpa. Might be the preacher that had baptized you. It could be somebody that you've known for a long, long time, and you look up to them. Have you ever thought, I wish my faith were as strong as, and then you fill in the blank. I wish my faith were as strong as this man or this woman. Now keep that thought in your mind as to who you thought was the strongest Christian you've ever met. And now quickly, because I got to get on with this sermon, but quickly think what it is about that person that makes you think they're such a good example and that they are such a good, good, strong Christian. Is it things that has happened in their life that you thought tragedies like that would destroy most people, but they just bounce right back? Has it been because of comments they make in Bible class that you know obviously they spend a lot of time studying their Bible? Now see, I can immediately think of one man in particular that if I wanted somebody to pray for me right after the doctor said, well, Bob, you've got a disease and you're going to die within the month, I'd want to go to that brother and say, hey, will you pray with me? Do you have somebody like that? Now, what I would like to think is that as you're thinking about that other person, I'd like to think there's somebody out there that's thinking about you, that they're thinking you are the best example that they've ever known for Christianity. Well, let's look here where we get our theme, increasing our faith. In Luke, the 16th chapter, and I'm not going to spend time on this because it's such a familiar story about the rich man and Lazarus. You remember that story? What a contrast. You've got this one man that just didn't want for anything. And then you have this poor beggar that he is so sick that someone has to lift him up and carry him down by the gate to sit him up, prop him up against the wall where he can beg. And to be impressed with how sick he is, because it says with his disease the dogs come and lick his sores. I don't know all the details, but it just makes me think that he's probably so sick that he's so weak he can't even kick. No one would want to just lie there and let the dogs lick your leprosy sores. So it makes me think that he is the worst of worst physically. But then you know the story. Both of them died. The rich man goes into torment. The poor man goes into paradise. Now, what's the purpose of this story? Jesus is trying to remind us, you determine here and now where you want to be later. You see, it's your decision. Do you want to go to heaven or do you expect to go to hell? It's your decision. And I think that's the whole point that Jesus is wanting us to get out of that. Now, I could spend two or three lessons on the rich man and Lazarus, but that, I'm just using that to set the stage. Because now we get into chapter 17. Here is somebody that is offended, and somebody suffers at the hand of another. Now, a lot of people misuse this word offend. Oh, well, I don't want you to do that or that or that because that offends me. Now, remember, brothers and sisters, that when we talk about offending, we're talking about sin. So it's okay if you say, you know, I don't like people that eat chocolate ice cream. But did that make you sin? I don't like people that wear a pink shirt. You have the right to say you don't like it, but did that make you sin? I was holding a gospel meeting up near Chicago, and the preacher's daughter needed somebody to go with her for the whole week because she was trying to graduate from this beautician school. And she needed somebody every day so that she could show these teachers that she knew what to do. And nobody from the church would help her out. So I said, hey, sis, I'll go with you. Every night of that gospel meeting, I showed up in the pulpit looking different. Now, the first night was easy. All she did was just give me a haircut and part it in the middle. That was weird. I'd never had that look before. But that didn't bother me. But then it changed every day. Then one day she wrapped all this aluminum foil in my hair and then squirted stuff in there, and she called it streaking. Well, it kept changing every day. And finally on Friday, I had to be in there for 3 or 4 hours. And she put a kinky perm in me. I'll be honest with you, I looked like a dirty Q-tip. But I was helping my sister. Well, I washed my hair 6 times and that kink didn't come out. I'm going back to Bowling Green, Kentucky with that new look. And I had people laughing at me and making fun of me. And I said, I tell you what, I believe I've got the right to wear it and you've got the right to laugh at me. That this is not anything that involves right or wrong in God's sight. Do you understand that? But you see, there are some things that we can do that involve sin. And so if the brother has sinned against you, what are you supposed to do? Ignore the one that did it, but come, hey, let me get a few of you together. Let me talk about him. Let me talk about her. Let me tell you how bad this person is. Is that the way you're supposed to handle it? Or does he say, go to that person. Talk to that person. Now see, offenses will come. But woe to him through whom the offense comes. You see, I don't want to be the cause of you sinning because I have sinned. And so when we look at these, he says, you go if they have sinned. You talk to them. You rebuke them. You try to get them to change. And if he repents, you forgive him. And may I throw something in here that it's not written into the verse, but I believe it's implied. You rebuke him, he repents, you forgive him, and then you forget that you forgave him. Do you know what I mean by that? You see, there are some people that will hold on to it for the next 10 years. Oh, brother, I remember when you sinned, but I was so strong, I forgave you. Well, why are you bringing it up again? That's why I'm saying you forgive them and then you forget that you forgot it. Now, Jesus shocks them. Because he sinned, you rebuked him, he repented, you forgave him, and then he does it again. Now what if there was somebody in this building and Mike comes to me and says, Bob, this brother over here said that you stole something at the grocery store. I never attempted to steal anything. Why would he tell that lie against me? So I go to him and I talk to him. And after a conversation, he repents. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I certainly want to forgive you. Let's have a prayer together. We can embrace each other, a good hug. Pray together and say, all right, brother, I'll see you Sunday morning. And then Sunday morning, we get both to the building, and then another brother comes to me and said, that brother out there said that you were stealing lollipops from the little kids down the street. Well, I've never done something like that. Why'd he tell that lie? So I go to him the second time. I rebuke him. He repents. I forgive him. We pray. Now the next week, another brother comes to me and says, that same person's out there telling a lie about you. Well, just let him say what he wants to say. I'm not going to fool with him anymore. I've already forgiven him twice. I don't even want to talk to him now. You see how that could build up, that people would do it that way? But I forgive him the third time. The fourth time. The fifth time. Each one of these is getting harder and harder. Would you believe me? I've already forgiven you five times, and now you've done this the sixth time? That's going to be hard. Jesus didn't say it was going to be easy. Jesus says it's going to be hard. Even if they do it seven times in the same day, See, I was using the example, what if they did it this day, and then they did it 2 days later, and then they did it a week later? No, he's talking about seven times in the same day. Whew, that's going to be hard. Not for sure that I'm even wanting to do it. It's not going to be easy. And the apostles knew it was not going to be easy. And look at what they say in verse 5. Lord, increase our faith. You see, they know they needed to do what the Lord is talking about, but they knew it was going to be hard. So they say, Lord, increase our faith. Only through Christ will I be able to accomplish some of the things that I need to accomplish. Now let's rapidly make some applications. Who is it today in the world? Who is it today in this church that needs to have our faith strengthened? I will begin by saying, what about the new convert? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. But the fact that faith is supposed to grow, faith is supposed to get stronger, it's supposed to get better all the time. As newborn babies want milk, we ought to desire the sincere Word of God. Now, I don't have any reason to believe that your babies in Ohio are any different than babies in Kentucky, or babies in Africa, or babies in the Philippines. Mama gives them milk, they go to sleep, and they wake up in just a pretty short time, and you hear, "Why is that baby crying? That baby wants some more milk, right?" How many of us cry for more spiritual milk? Mike, I'm glad we have a Sunday morning Bible study. But can you meet me here at the building Tuesday morning before I go to work and let's have a prayer together and read a few scriptures together? I want some more milk. Can you choose one or two that might be your closest friends in the church? And you all set up some kind of a bonding. We do something silly where I'm a member. We have what we call a phone tree. So we'll put Mike in charge of it. And then if we find out somebody is sick, Mike calls four people. I think I mentioned this to you the other night. That's all Mike has to do is call four people. But each of those four then have a list that they call four or five people. And then each of those then go to the next level. But just like that, everybody knows. Start praying. Well, one of the college girls came up with something that I never had thought of, but I sure did like it once it got going. She set up a special phone tree. And it was the same thing. She would call four, then each one of them would call, and it kept going until every college student had received the phone call. Now, if we're going to go through your contact list, there's a good chance that some of the names in your phone are some of the same names in his phone. So guess what? Sometime during this day, you might get three or four phone calls. It's really a text message, and all it says, have you thought about him yet? Now that's all it says. Have you thought about him yet? Now for some people, they're going to get that text message at 6 o'clock in the morning. A bunch of other people are still asleep. They're not going to get that message till 7:30. There's a few that's still asleep. They're not going to get their message till 9 o'clock. But see, once you get the message, have I thought about Jesus yet? Then you immediately make the calls to the next link on the phone tree. So that message goes around all day long. Very simple. Have you thought about him yet? I think we get too busy. And many times we don't think about him. And what Peter is saying, you're a newborn baby when you became a Christian. Are you going to stay a baby? Or are you going to grow up? Now what God wants, as newborn babies want milk, you should want the pure and the simple teaching. By it you can grow up and you can be saved. The new converts need help. I can remember when I was preaching at Paris, Kentucky, I baptized a young man that his family was what we would call gypsies. His family had never lived in a house. They traveled like the gypsies in Europe. And finally then Tom became a Christian. About 3 weeks after I baptized him, and he had been coming on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, he's growing. But about 3 weeks later, he said, "Hey, Bob, I need to ask you a question. We didn't talk about this before I was baptized. Am I supposed to give up marijuana?" Now see, we can laugh about it because we were a little bit more mature than that. I spent a whole day with Tom in China, and by the end of the day, he was baptized. And then he said he wanted to do something special for me, so he was going to send a prostitute over to the hotel that night. I said, Tom, I wouldn't be interested. That would be a sin. And he started crying. He said, until we started studying this morning, I'd never heard the word sin. I didn't know what sin was. Now, I do not believe that the 3,000 that was baptized on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, I don't believe they already had all the answers to all the questions. I don't think that it had ever been brought up about attending services every Sunday, having the Lord's Supper every Sunday, whether or not you're going to give of your income, give some of it to the Lord, that your singing was to be from the instrument that God made, the heart. Sing and make melody in your heart. I don't think they had ever thought about the question, is instrumental music right or wrong, now that we're in Christianity and no longer in the Old Testament law. You see, there has to be a growth. And I would hope that you would be patient with me while I am growing. When I became a Christian, the first Friday night after I was baptized, I went to a big dance. Nobody had ever mentioned lasciviousness. Nobody had ever said that something like that could be wrong. Some of the girls that go to the beach with their bikini, showing more body than they've got clothes. They haven't been taught yet. Now don't misunderstand me. I am not justifying tonight the guy going to the bar and having a dozen beers. I'm not justifying that girl with her immodest bikini. I'm not justifying these. I'm just saying that as a newborn baby, we don't know everything. And we need somebody to help us learn the Bible so that our faith can grow. Well, let's look at a second group. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the writer says, well, you've been a Christian long enough that by now you ought to be able to tell somebody else how you became a Christian. By now you ought to be able to show them a few verses and talk about how that we're supposed to worship. By now your prayers ought to be more meaningful. By now you ought to have more knowledge. You know, I've met people, and I'd say, well, turn over to the book of Leviticus, and let's read a couple of verses here. And they'll say, is that in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Because, you see, they've not been studying their Bible. They need their faith to be strengthened. They need to learn the Bible. That's what chapter 5 and verse 12 is saying. You had enough time so that by now you should be teachers. But you need someone to teach you again the first lessons of God's message. You still need the teaching that is like milk. You're not ready for solid food. So anyone in this category needs to humble themselves enough to say what the apostles Paul. The apostle said to Jesus, Lord, increase my faith. A third group, they're those that have had their faith weakened. Somebody did something that just really shattered their world. I can think of a dozen examples like that. About 15 miles from where I live, in a small rural Church of Christ, there's one of the members that today is sitting in prison because he molested a young child. That man used to be one of our Bible teachers. That man used to lead the singing. That man used to lead the prayers. And he lowered himself to do something like that. Now for the next two or three Sundays, the attendance was a lot lower than it had ever been before. Because some of the members were still in shock that that brother committed that sin. And see, that weakened them. Now, have you ever had somebody to hurt you in some way? Have you ever had somebody that caused a disruption in the church? It hurts. We need to say, Lord, increase my faith. Paul said, that's why many in your group are sick and weak. And many have died, meaning dying spiritually. You see, one person, by what we do or what we say, one person can hurt a whole big group. Now, if I'm the one that's being hurt, if I feel that you wronged me, I need to say, Lord, increase my faith. Now we talk about the church being God's army. Now let me interrupt myself for just a moment. Maybe some of you men served in the military. My brother went to Germany. Now, the United States Army does not say that if a soldier falls, you go out and shoot him. If the soldier falls, you go up and kick him. Don't we understand that with the U.S. Army? and how we treat our soldiers, why can we not understand that with our brethren? Why can we not say, is something happening? Can I help? Let's get together. Let's pray. Let's encourage each other. And together then that we can pray, Lord, increase my faith. There are some that have had their faith to fail them. Isn't that what happened to Peter? The Lord said, Peter, you would deny me three times. And Peter said, not me. Now these other apostles might be a little flaky. These other apostles might be that you can't depend upon them, but boy, I'm strong. And then something happens. Maybe at work. You find out through the back door that they're going to lay off a few people. So they're going to ask a few questions today to try to decide who to keep and who to lay off. And when they ask you some of the questions, you lie. Just so you think that will lift you up in their eyes to guarantee your work. You had your faith to fail you. That's why in Luke chapter 22, Jesus says, I have prayed that you will not lose your faith. But see, Jesus knew he was going to. Now, when you come back, help your brothers. Be stronger. Are we willing to humble ourselves to say, Lord, increase my faith? Do I need to pray more? Lord, increase my faith. Do I need to be stronger in my attendance? People are watching me wonder, why are you so weak? Why do you just choose, I'll go two Sundays, then I'll miss two Sundays. Lord, increase my faith. I don't live in the world by myself. And I'm not trying to be in the church by myself. You see, when I look at Hebrews chapter 10. Now, when I say Hebrews 10, a lot of people only think that chapter's got one verse in it. They know Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But maybe they've never read verse 24. Because in verse 24, it's talking about our attitude and what we do in helping one another. We provoke one another. Some people stop right there. Provoke? Yeah, I've got my brothers and sisters that provoke me. No, the King James Version uses provoke. Some of the other translations say encourage each other. Help each other be better. Do a good job of strengthening each other. Provoke one another unto love and to good works. One man told me that I was the first person that ever invited him to go with me to the nursing home. He said, it's not my relatives. Yeah, but will you just go with me? I just want you to be in the room when we pray with this woman. My son was working in the Boy Scout program. He was trying to earn his God and Country Award. And his scoutmaster was really, really hard on him. You want to guess who his scoutmaster was? But anyway, David adopted a woman at the nursing home. And about once a week, he would send her some little greeting card in the mail. And when I visited her, they were all lined up over by the window. And some of them were already turning yellow, being stained by the sun. He would go by maybe once a month and take her a chocolate chip cookie or something. And one day she asked him, said, "Hey, buddy," said, "are you my grandson?" And he said, "No, ma'am, I'm just a Boy Scout." She said, "Well, I was hoping you were my grandson. I have 10 grandchildren, and I've been in this home for 18 months, and not one of the 10 of them has ever come to see me." Have you ever stopped to think what something as simple as a thinking of you card would mean? This is the perfect time of year. The daffodils are blooming. How about going and just picking one of them and taking to somebody at the nursing home or the hospital? The changes that can be made by little things. Lord, increase my faith. Well, the final example. What about those tonight that have a real strong faith? Do you think that you've served the Lord enough that now you can quit? Or do you want to keep this strong faith until the day that you die? Do you want to have that strong faith on the day that you're getting ready to take your deep last breath, where the husband looks at the wife and says, "I'll meet you on the other side"? Where the children are giving mom or dad a goodbye kiss. Giving that final hug to grandma. The final opportunity to say, "I love you." And to say to that person, "Thank you for being the example that you've been. Thank you for being the Christian that you were." What do you want people to say about you when you die? What memories do you want your family to have? I think that we need to say, "Lord, increase my faith." We who are strong in faith should help those who are weak. We should help them with their weaknesses. And not please only ourselves. Will we make it our goal that tonight, because when we look at this list of five different categories, who needs their faith strengthened? All of us. Will we work at helping each other so that we can be stronger? Will we pray more? Will we study more? Will we visit more? Will we encourage more? Will we talk to each other more? What can I do to help you? Lord, increase my faith. You've listened well. And I hope that every one of us will walk out of this building tonight and take a few of these words home with us. And that we'll have a special prayer before we go to sleep tonight. Whether we're praying alone, we're praying with husband or wife, we're praying with our children. Lord, increase our faith. We're going to sing a song right now to see if there's anybody that we can help, anybody that we can encourage. If there's somebody here that's not yet a Christian, would you be strong enough tonight to say, "I'm ready to become a Christian"? You see, it's easy to follow the crowd. It's easy to be a sinner. That doesn't take a whole lot of work. It's easy to be a sinner. but to say, okay, I've made up my mind, I want to follow Jesus. I'm telling you, I want to be honest with you, that's going to be hard. Are you willing to be different at school? Willing to be different at the office? Willing to be different at the factory? Willing to be different on the baseball field? Willing to be different out there on the golf course? I was in a gospel meeting out in California, and I'm not a golfer, but they invited me to go with them. I had to pay $40 to have permission to be, what is it called? The guy that walks around with you and gives you your clubs? A caddy. I had to buy a caddy license. I thought this is going to be fun. Until the one of the men that I was walking with wrapped his golf club around a tree and said a few words that I didn't think a Christian ought to say. That hurt me. Can I help anybody? Can I strengthen them? Can I pray with them? Can I say, Lord, all of us, please increase our faith. If you're not a Christian, we'd like to see you become one tonight. Maybe you know what truth is. You know what you need to do, but for some reason you keep putting it off. And the devil wants you to keep putting it off. The devil doesn't want you to become a Christian. But Jesus said, you know, I loved you enough that I went to the cross to die for you. I died for you. So that you could become part of God's family. If you've never obeyed, would you like to obey tonight? Be strong enough, tell the devil goodbye, and decide to get on the Lord's side. There are going to be some days it's going to be hard. There are going to be challenges. But you see, you'll have a family that wants to help you. And maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. But if you're honest with yourself, you know that you're not as strong today as you were when you first got started. You remember how excited you were that first week after you were baptized. But somehow or other, you've lost that zeal. Would you like to just pray to God and say, increase my faith? And to say, Father, forgive me for not growing and not doing better. Would you want the church to pray for you tonight? Whatever your condition is and whatever we can do to help you in any way, you let us know while together now we stand to sing this song.